Turn to Hebrews again, Hebrews chapter 13. We'll continue our messages through the book of Hebrews. We're almost done, but it's like there's always something else to pick out, and so that's where we're at again today. It might not be as much of a message in context today, though I think it is. It will come out that it is based on what we see in the book of Hebrews, but it'll be about discernment, about Christian discernment. That's what the message will be about today. And based on what we read in verse 9, Hebrews 13, verse 9, it says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." So that's what I want to look at today. So I won't read a lot from Hebrews 13. But I want to back up a little bit and see how it fits in the context of Hebrews. From verse 7, which we more looked at last week, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." If you've been here throughout the book of Hebrews, or if you're familiar with the book of Hebrews, it has a lot to do with the old and the new. The old versus the new. The old covenant and the new covenant. So here, in chapter 13, it kind of brings it to practical truth. What does that do for us? Well, in verse 1, we had Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue." And then verse 2, "Be hospitable. Remember them that are in prison." And in the context, it was people were in prison for their faith. What marriage should be, what a lifestyle should look like. We have all of that here. What the church context, those who are the elders, remember them. And then, kind of in the middle of that, Jesus Christ, verse 8. "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." And then verse 9, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." I'm repeating some of those things because Hebrews started with, and all the way up to chapter 10, repeated the idea that Jesus is greater than the law and the pictures that were pointing to Jesus. That was repeated over and over in different ways. It was repeated in the way of Jesus and persons, any other human beings, Jesus or angels, Jesus as the great high priest or the high priest of the old covenant. It was repeated over and over how Jesus was the fulfillment of all things, how he was the preeminent one, how he is the outstanding one, how Jesus is greater and everything points to him. So now that comes to our theology. How do we think about Jesus, and how do we think about all things, considering God, considering life? How do we think about those things? Charles Spurgeon has said that Christian discernment is not the knowing between right and wrong, but knowing the difference between right and almost right. Now, obviously, that is knowing the difference between right and wrong, but where discernment is needed is where something looks good, but then it's false. So we find out it's wrong, after all. That is what this is about. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Diverse and strange doctrines. See, here's the thing. When a new doctrine comes up and someone comes and says, Jesus is not God, or Jesus was not born of a virgin, those are strange doctrines. If you've read the Bible and someone comes up with those thoughts, they're strange. They're not, oh yeah, that's what I've always read in the scripture. But they can come up with philosophical ideas that makes it sound wonderful to the flesh, because that's what a lot of people do. And then we would easily fall for those if we didn't have discernment. That's why discernment is important. It says in there's a few verses that basically prove that It is every Christian's duty. Discernment, watching out for what is right and wrong, is not just for the pastor or just for the really smart people. Discernment is for everyone. Now, not everyone will have the same gifts or the same abilities. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 that there is a gift that God gives that is a discernment of spirits. So there is a gift of discernment that God gives. But God uses those gifts to help everyone. There's lots of examples I could use, but just to use something very simple. I'll use a few different examples, but if you have a vehicle and the engine goes out, the engine just doesn't work anymore, there's not many of us who would just go and just fix it ourselves. We go and find someone who's an expert with engines, and then we let them fix it, right? So together, we could say, well, it's doing this and this and this, and the person would say, okay, I can fix it for you. Or a headlight bulb is not working. Well, maybe some of us could fix it, and some of us would say, well, I'd rather go find someone who has done it before, because I've never done it. Or you clean the house, and you can clean everything, but you don't like cleaning the windows that are up high where you can't really get to, so you ask someone else to help you. Well, all those things, we find people who are good at that thing, who are helpful in this thing, who are helpful in that thing, and then together we can accomplish a lot. Well, in the Bible, that's the same idea, and even with discernment. So there are some who God has given a gift of discernment, discerning of spirits, it says in 1 Corinthians 12. And so those are the ones who help the others who don't have so much discernment to see why something is wrong or something is troubling or we should avoid something. It says in Romans 16 verse 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You see, when we are taught the truth, when we are taught about a false doctrine or a false teaching, or it is also called leaven in Scripture. Leaven, which we talked about at the Bible study this week. Leaven or yeast that you put in the flour to make it go up, like for bread and so on. Well, the Bible calls false doctrines leaven that comes and leavens the whole lump. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware, and then he says, that is the leaven of doctrine. That is a false teaching. Beware of that. Why? Because it comes in, it creeps in a little bit, and then it just spreads everywhere. It's like someone comes in and has a bright new teaching that is not found in the Bible, but it sounds good. And you go and, look, I heard this about Jesus. I heard this about God. And you go and you spread it. And it catches on because there's a lack of discernment. That is the leaven coming in and blowing up everything until it's not the truth anymore. Until you can hardly even find the truth in there. That's why it is so important that there is discernment in the church and that it is discussed. It is brought out. It is taught. It is not just with a few, but that everyone hears about truth and what is false. Later I will use a few examples that are false teachings that are very popular and common today. It is every Christian's duty to have discernment. It says to an extent, right? I just said that God gives different gifts. But 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Prove all things. That means you hear something or you see something. To prove it means that you will test it. You will check it. Is that actually true? Does it actually hold water? Can you match that up with the Bible? You see, what it said here in Hebrews 13 verse 9 is, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. To be carried about means something comes along and you just grab it right away. Oh, that sounds good. I'll believe it. Well, that's not the characteristics of a stable and mature Christian. If you're stable and mature and something comes along that sounds strange, you gotta take it very lightly. You gotta take it with a grain of salt, we would say sometimes. Because you gotta prove it first. You gotta test it first. See, Paul was preaching truth, but when he came to the Bereans, whenever Paul spoke to them, they would open the Bible and they would go and search it out and see if it's actually there. Paul told them, "Oh, you're so foolish, you don't believe me." No. Paul said, "That's good. You're seeking out the scripture to find out that what I'm saying is true." You know, if you come here and you listen to me and you just say, "Oh, because I say it and you trust me, you'll believe it," that's not very noble. And that doesn't build up discernment either. If you do that to me, you'll find someone else who you trust and you'll do the same to them. "Oh, I think that's a nice person, so whatever they say, I'll go with it." You know, you gotta have your own foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and then build on top of that. So first of all, if you become a believer, you have a faith in Jesus. You have a trust in Jesus. Nobody else can have that for you. If you're a believer, you personally have a trust in Jesus. The same way with discernment. See, there's some things maybe with the end times. How is the world going to end? How is Jesus going to come back? That it is not so important that we know it 100% right now. Because it'll come. But if you have Jesus right now, if you've trusted Jesus right now, that is important because that's between you and God. If Christ returns and you haven't trusted in Christ, you're going to be under His wrath for all eternity. You're going to be punished in hell for all eternity. That is something that where the discernment starts. That is, we could say that is the base. That is the foundation. Your trust must be personally in Jesus Christ. Now I'm talking about this discernment because it is built on top of that foundation. Your faith is in Christ. Your discernment is built on top of that. It says in 1 John 4 verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Try the spirits. Now, nowadays, there's much talk about spirits, especially in some Christian or evangelical circles where everything is a spirit. Oh, he gets angry, so he has a spirit of anger. You know, what that does is actually, I think there again, there's some leaven there. But what that does is you go away from the root of the issue. If someone is always angry, is always disobedient to God, is not surrendered to God, and you make it all kinds of spirits be the issue, well, now they have some issue that they can externally work on. Okay, I'll stop being angry. Maybe I can, and then I'll be a Christian now. You know, the Bible does say that there are many evil spirits, and the evil spirits can affect someone. They can come and trouble someone. They can tempt someone. But the evil spirits cannot rule a Christian. If you have your trust in Christ, the evil spirit cannot rule your life. You have been freed from that bondage to sin. You are no longer under the chains of Satan. The evil spirit cannot rule your life, even though he can come and torment you a little bit. He can affect you. He can tempt you to sin. But try the spirits. That is every Christian's duty. And then the verse I said about mark and avoid, again, that is every Christian's duty. "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." One of the common false teachings today, I think that goes along with what I've said up to now, is that we just need Jesus and we don't need doctrine. Or, I just follow Jesus. I'm not into religion. Or some people say that, well, I just love God, but I'm not into religion. Or I don't go to church. I just love God, but I don't need Jesus. I don't need church. Well, those things are already leaven, which leavens the lump. The idea that we just need Jesus, we don't need doctrine. Well, everything about Jesus is about doctrine. Doctrine is that which is truth about Jesus, about the Bible, about God. That is doctrine. You know, it's like saying that someone comes from a far country and they're coming to sing, they're coming to have a musical performance, and we say that, well, I just like the person, and I like what he's doing, I like who he is, but I don't like seeing him at the store. Well, that has nothing to do with what the person actually does. He sings. That's what he does. That's what he's coming for, is to sing. Well, that's maybe a crazy example, but this is what happens when people say that I love Jesus, I follow Jesus, but I don't like doctrine, or I don't like religion, or I don't like the Bible. Jesus said in James, or the Bible says in James, it's all the Word of God, that pure religion is to visit the fatherless and widows and the afflicted. There is religion that is good. We can't just separate all the things that are abused and say that, well, that's abused, that's abused, that's abused, so I don't want any of that. Christianity is abused, so I don't want to be a Christian. No. There's abuse in everything. The Bible says there will be false Christ coming. It says in Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And then verse 24, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know what will happen when someone says, I just want Jesus, I don't need doctrine? They're going to follow these false Christs and these false prophets, because they don't need doctrine. We don't need to know who Jesus is. We don't need to know that there is no sin in Jesus, that there is no darkness, nothing bad in Jesus. And then someone comes and shows himself as an angel of light, like Satan will. It says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That is why people will follow Satan and false teachers and false Christ and false prophets, because doctrine doesn't matter to them. If doctrine matters, if Jesus really matters to you, then doctrine will matter. Because that's how we know about Jesus. We trust him in faith. It is what God has worked in us, where, it's, as it says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, we now have the substance, we now have the evidence of Jesus. The things that our fleshly mind cannot comprehend, our fleshly heart cannot believe, and yet we now comprehend and believe to the extent that we have trust in Christ. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's not something that the human flesh can do. That is something that God works in us, where we now have the substance and the evidence of Jesus. You know, the term is sometimes used, a blind faith. You know, the thing that actually needs blind faith is atheism, agnosticism, believing in a big bang that happened by random chance. Those things need a blind faith. But to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to this world to die on the cross, to be the Savior for sinners, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, is written in God's divine and holy word. And to those who are born again, God has revealed that to their hearts, where they now have the evidence. They now have the actual substance. You know, if I say substance, You can have a picture of a flower. If you have a picture of a flower, do you have a flower? No, you have a picture. You have a photo, but you don't have the actual flower. Now, if you go and find the place where the picture has been taken, now you can actually find the flower. That is the substance, is the actual flower. Well, in the same way, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the substance. It is having that reality in our heart of knowing who Christ is and what He has done for us. It's not a guessing and it's not a blind faith. It's a real faith. James chapter 2 separates the faith of devils and real faith, because that is the only separation that can be made. It says in James chapter 2 verse 19 that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It separates out the faith of devils, believing that God exists, believing that there is a God, and someone who actually has the faith of God that actually transforms that person. That's what James 2 talks about. That's a differentiation that James 2 makes. Who can have discernment? Well, first of all, like I said, there is a gift of discerning of the spirits that God gives. But discernment comes with growth and maturity. If you have a little baby, you don't feed the baby meat. You give the baby milk, because he first has to grow. He first has to mature. He can't eat meat. It says in Hebrews 5, the same principle is used. Hebrews 5 verse 12. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Growth and maturity brings discernment. It says in Hebrews 5, where I just read in verse 14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, if you think about exercise and you think about how does a baby grow, well, you know that the baby has to exercise. First of all, he can't do much. He starts turning over, he starts crawling, he starts walking. If you would just keep that baby lying down and give it milk and just keep it that way, he would never be able to walk. You can't do that for 2 years and then expect, okay, now the baby is starting to walk. Well, in the spiritual, it's the same way. It says that it is exercised. Hebrews 5, where I just read, it says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So how can you exercise those senses to be able to discern good and evil? Well, how does a baby start to crawl and to walk? Well, they have to try doing it. Well, how does a Christian begin to have discernment? Well, he has to come into a world where discernment is needed, where it's starting to be exercised. And just like a baby needs to have parents and someone to guide him and help him, and every time he'll fall down to help him back up, just like that, a baby Christian also needs to be around other Christians, other mature Christians, that he can grow well, because it is needful. Paul, the writer of Hebrews was rebuking them for still needing milk. He was saying that it was as if they had just gone to sleep. They were not exercising their faith. They were not exercising being able to use God's word. I think evangelism, I've recently mentioned evangelism more often, but I think evangelism is a very good way, and maybe the best way, to exercise your discernment. You know, evangelism is about bringing the Word of God, sharing the gospel with others. You don't need to know a lot of theology and a lot of Bible and a lot of scripture to share the gospel with someone. You go and you ask them, do you know Christ? Or you go and you ask them, do you go to church? It's a good way to start a conversation. And then follow from there and ask them if they know about Jesus and that He died on the cross and that if you believe on Him, you'll be saved. It's not about works. It's not about trying to be a good person, but it's about the righteousness of Christ. Do you know that? Because that is the essence of the gospel. Jesus died to save sinners. If you believe on Him, you'll be saved. And then you'll start to exercise your faith and you'll start to grow. It says in Ephesians 4 verse 14, the same idea, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It says in James 1 verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So a growing in the faith needs an exercising of the faith, which happens in many different ways. One of the ways is trials and temptations. Then our faith is tried, like it says in James chapter 1. I've already mentioned this, but the reason discernment is needed is because of Christian false teachers. Now, false teachers are not Christians, but false teachers act like Christians. The words I read were, there will be false Christs and false prophets. It does not mean that they come in the opposite way from Christ. It does not mean that they come with horns on their head and a pitchfork in their hands. I am Christ. No. They come as angels of light. They come with beautiful words, with nice words to trick you into believing everything they say, and then they'll slowly lead you into error. And they will want to lead you to hell because that's their goal. It says in Matthew 24 that if it were possible, in the last days, there'll be so many false teachers and false Christs that if it would be possible, even the elect would be deceived. So that is the foundational line, is again, what I already said. If your trust is in Christ, that is the foundation of discernment. Everything else needs to be built on top of that. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13 is a scripture I already read about Satan himself being transformed into an angel of light. That means he makes himself look good. He makes himself look righteous. It says that Satan's ministers are transformed as ministers of righteousness. They look pious. They look holy. Just like the Pharisees were. We read about the Pharisees and we say, oh, they were such terrible false teachers. But you know what? People were following them and were thinking they are very holy people. But Jesus called them out and said, your outside looks clean, but the inside of your cup is dirty and full of dead man's bones. You see, this is why we need discernment, because the natural man, without God, without the Spirit of God, without being saved, without being born again, the natural man tries to play a Christian. You see that a lot. Tries to play Christian for whatever personal reason, but he cannot understand the things of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The things of God, the truth of God, can only be spiritually discerned. You cannot figure it out in the flesh. An unbeliever cannot figure out the things of God. He cannot understand. He cannot believe. It takes grace. It is by grace that someone is saved, and it is by that grace that someone gets discernment from God. So how do we get discernment? I've already mentioned some of it, but it takes wisdom. wisdom and discernment go hand in hand. Wisdom comes from God. Proverbs mentions that multiple times. We have the story of Solomon. He had a lot of wisdom because he asked God for wisdom. How do we get discernment? By familiarizing ourselves with the Word of God, reading it, listening to it, listening to the preaching of God's Word. Make sure that you spend your time with people who accurately portray the Word of God. Romans 16:17, the verse I've mentioned a few times, it says, "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses and avoid them." If you always try to go and spend time with someone who always is divisive, always is tries to cause offense by saying things about the Word of God that are not true, make divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, contrary to the doctrine of the Bible, it says to avoid them. You know, there are people who are hungry and want the truth, who would tell you some wrong things, then you can be a light for them and share the truth with them. But when you find out that someone's only purpose is to be divisive, is to argue with you, to bring out their false teachings, it says we should avoid such people. It does us no good. So there are two different places. The one is the person who wants to grow and needs to grow and can grow. He is open about the Word of God. Or there's the one who just comes and wants to impose his worldview on you without being open to consider anything in the Bible. It says we should mark and avoid. We should look at, figure out, okay, this person is only divisive, is only offensive to the doctrines of God, so we'll avoid them. That doesn't mean that we should be unfriendly or that we should be the cause of being an enemy, but we should not spend a lot of time with them. It will not be good for our spiritual walk or for our discernment. So again, discernment takes a way of, like in Hebrews 13 verse 9 says, a being careful, a being to not be carried about with every strange doctrine. That means that we don't take something new very easily. I have done that with true doctrines too, and that's good. If you hear something that sounds strange, even if it's true, but you should still find it yourself in the Scripture. And then say, okay, it was true. I just didn't know that before. It is good. We learn that way. We should. But we have to hold things loosely until we see them in the Scripture. And that's what builds our discernment. When we hold those things tight that God has taught us in the Scripture, then we can be discerning. You know, the Word of God, I just mentioned, to be familiar with the Word of God. It says in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That was Jesus' prayer to the Father, that God would sanctify the believers by His word. A sanctifying is a growing in discernment, is a growing in truth. In 1 Peter 2 verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." I think this is more given to new believers or those who haven't grown or matured yet. You should recognize it, that you are not mature, and desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire those basic truths about God until you're familiar with them, until they are a solid foundation in your life. The sincere milk of the Word, and then start building on that. The Word of God is that which helps to get discernment. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, if you call yourself a Christian, or even you call yourself a preacher, or someone who has discernment, and then you go and make a lot of claims about the Bible, and then later you find out that actually you were wrong, it's shameful. As servants of God, we want to bring out the truth in, first of all, in clarity that it can be understood, but second of all, in a right way. There are some things over the last few months that I've discussed with someone who we don't have a full agreement. We discuss some things, and then there have been some things where I just had to kind of say, well, I'm not very familiar with that. I'll have to look into it more first. There's other things that I said, and then I realized, do I really know that? And then I had to go back to the scripture and confirm that that is actually the truth. And that's what it is to grow in discernment, is to study, to show yourself to prove unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I also saw the desire for church leaders and elders, those who they are helping. Like Colossians 1 verse 9 says, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul, when he wrote to the Colossians, says, I am praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in wisdom and in spiritual understanding. Well, that is discernment. He has a great desire, and that is my desire for those who come here, that you would be grown, that you would grow in the faith, grow in discernment, grow in the truth of God's word, that you're able to defend your faith. Someone comes along and says, oh, I think Christianity is false. I think God doesn't exist. I think Jesus is not the Savior. I think there are many ways to God. That you're able to calmly reply and say, no, but the scripture says that Jesus is the only way. And you know it because you've read it, and you know it's there, and you know the Bible is the truth of God's word. That is, it takes wisdom to get discernment. It takes a studying of God's word. And I think it also takes the elders and shepherds of the church, not as a necessity, but as a tool that God uses. I'm saying that because God can teach one person and show him and grow him in discernment. But God has given the church elders, not only that, also people with a spiritual understanding, people with discernment, but that we together can grow better, grow faster, grow more. Just like what I said at the beginning, as a church body, there's not one person who has everything figured out. But together, we have much more than one person alone. It works like that in a job too. If you have a job, often it is said that two people can do more than double of one person. Why? Because they have unique and different skills, and they can help each other. It's the same with the marriage. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will give him a helpmeet. And then there's two that can now do more than doubling either one of them, because they both have their strong points. They both have their places where they shine, and the other one is a little bit more dull. And then they complement each other, and they make it better than one alone, or even if you could double one of them, it makes it better. So together, we always have more than just one alone. I just want to briefly touch on some false teachings that are common today and why we need discernment before we end. I guess I kind of mentioned them. But one of the very common ones today is that church doesn't matter. It's like, you can either just be at alone at home, watch a TV, watch someone on the screen who is maybe preaching a message, and that's it. Church, don't care. Well, the Bible says in the same book of Hebrews to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But not only that, the principles that I've just mentioned, we can't by ourselves grow as fast as or as well as if we have more people together. We need the church, because God has implemented the church. God has given the church. It started in Acts, and everywhere where there was Christians, there was churches that started. I'm not talking about a building in specific. I'm talking about the church as a whole, the church where there are elders, where there are, where everyone works together to bring out the truth of God into this world, bring out the gospel into this world. Church doesn't matter is one of the false teachings, and if you don't have discernment, you might start to believe it. I think if you read the Bible, it will show you that it is actually not true. Or church doctrine doesn't matter. It's like, okay, well, maybe church matters, but the doctrine doesn't really matter. So it doesn't matter which one you go to, which church. You can go to anyone, whatever they believe. It doesn't really matter. It's just, it's better to go somewhere. Well, if you read in Revelation 2 and 3, and the letters that are written to the seven churches, it gives them false teachings that are a problem. It says that they are tolerating false teachers, and it says if you continue tolerating them, you say it's okay to have the false teachers here, God says, I will remove my lampstand. I will remove my light from this church. And so doctrine matters. Church doctrine matters. We should not just say, well, as long as he goes to church, then that's all that's needed. No, we should look at the doctrine and say, if you go somewhere and they don't believe the essentials of Christianity, or they don't follow the Bible and so on, well, that should be a red flag, and we should say, well, church doctrine does matter. We could say that the church is the most important institution that God has established in this world. See, there's governments, but even governments should be downstream from the church. That terminology is used sometimes. But what that means is God has ordained the government for a purpose. The purpose is not to be this huge organization that it is becoming everywhere today. The job of the government is described in Romans 13, which is to punish evil and praise that which is good. To do that in a proper and right way, they have to take God's doctrine. They have to take the Bible doctrine and say, well, what is evil? How do we know what is evil to know what the government should punish? If they make up a rule that you can't go to church, is it now evil to go to church? No. They are now usurping God. They're usurping the authority of the church and the truth of the church, and saying something that they have no authority to say if they say you can't go to church. I'm saying that because doctrine matters and church doctrine matters. And the government is downstream from the church, meaning that all the doctrine from God, which should be expounded in the church, is what should go down into the government. That the I'm not saying with this that, okay, one is up here and one is down here. That's not what I'm saying. They have different functionalities. The church has one. The government has one. Both are ordained by God. But the government should be in submission to God and His Word, just like the church is in submission to God and His Word. And if the order is correct, then the truth which is brought out from the Word in the church should get into the government and change their way of doing things. If the government makes up new rules, that should not come into the church and change the church. But when the government, when the church preaches the truth, that should get into the government and change them to do things more in a biblical way. So in that way, the government is downstream from the church, in that the church, as the Bible says, is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. That's where the truth is held. That's where the truth is proclaimed. That's where we could say we hold the line of what is the truth. Another very common false teaching today is health and wealth and prosperity. Oh, God wants you to always be healthy. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be well off, have a nice family. That's not in the Bible. Many people go for it because it sounds good to the flesh. The flesh wants that. Oh, I can have it very nice. I can have heaven on earth. If I just say Jesus is Lord, I just say the words and I can have heaven on earth. Well, let's do that. Now, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to give up yourself and come and follow me. Give up everything. Take up your cross and come follow me. That's what it is to follow Christ. Not say a few words and then have heaven on earth, but follow Christ, have peace on this earth, and be with Him in all eternity, where there is peace and joy and happiness, no sorrow, no pain, forever with Him. So, discernment, maturity, and growth in the Christian life is important, and I think we need to make an effort to be in the right place with the right people to grow in the Word of God. Mark and avoid those who just want to cause divisions contrary to the doctrine of God, and grow and learn and walk in the truth of God. And you'll have discernment and you'll grow in discernment. Don't take something very easily, but take it very lightly until you have weighed it against the Word of God. Even what I say, take it and weigh it against the Word of God. If there's something that I say wrong, then come to me and ask me about it. And we want to discuss it and figure out what does the Bible teach. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You have given us life. Thank You for Your Word, that You have taught us many things, many truths. Discernment and wisdom comes from You. We thank You. We pray that You will grow us in the foundational truths, that we would have them very clear in our mind, but then that we would grow in discernment as well. Not only to know that which is obviously wrong, but even those things that are that almost seem right, but they are still wrong, that we would be able to discern those things. God, I pray that You will grow us in those things. I pray that You will bless each one who came today. And today and through this week, You'll go with us, be with us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.